Happy Sunday. My name is Jim DeJunis. I'm reading to you from the North Carolina Reading Service, where breathing words into your life since 1983 is our slogan, and it's something we truly believe in. And we thank you for joining the program today. The program's name is Reflections, and for the next 30 minutes, I'll be reading to you from the Holy Bible. This week, we're going to be reading the Philippians, the letter from Paul to the Philippians. And we'll also, like we do every week, we'll read a passage out of Sarah Young's book called Jesus Calling. And we'll begin today with prayer, as it is our custom. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this time. We love speaking with our audience and to serve them in your way by sharing your holy words, that they may touch the hearts and minds and lives of our listeners, their families, and loved ones. Father, we ask that the word spoken today may be inspirational, may be heartfelt, may be awed, because, Father, you are awesome indeed. Your love for us is enormous. The wisdom that you impart on us in your word is tremendous. Thank you, Father. Thank you for so very many things, but most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, whose death and resurrection gives us that relationship with you. Thank you, Father, and thank you again for our listeners. Sarah Young teaches us today, on this 15th day of March, listen to the love song that I am continually singing to you. I take great delight in you. I rejoice over you with singing. The voices of the world are a cacophony of chaos, pulling you this way and that. Don't listen to those voices. Challenge them by my word. Learn to take mini breaks from the world, finding a place to be still in my presence and listen to my voice. There is an immense hidden treasure to be found through listening to me. Though I pour out my blessings upon you always, some of my richest blessings have to be actively sought. I love to reveal myself to you, and your seeking heart opens you up to receive more of my disclosure. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Some scripture verses to support today's reading. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 says, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." And Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." Thank you to Miss Young for her great words and her gift. So as I mentioned last week, we're going to start a new book. Today's Philippians, but I do want to kind of take a moment to relive Ephesians. It was a quick read last week, all six chapters in one reading. Great words, though. We had several reflection pieces. We had a scripture from chapter 1, verse 4, chapter 2, verse 8. You know, one word I wrote down as I prepared for today was just wow. Paul, in his service to Jesus Christ, shared a wealth of wisdom with the people of Ephesus and with us. God chooses us. We have to remember that. In fact, he chose you for salvation. By grace, we became God's workmanship, created in Jesus to do his works. We also learned that he urges us to be humble and gentle, patient, and to have unity with God and with his church. And then we are also reminded to be imitators of God, living a life of love just like Christ did. That's kind of Ephesians in a nutshell. A church that Paul so very much loved, he needed to write to them again to remind them of just that. Be imitators of God, living a life of love, just like Christ did. Well, Philippians, I got to be honest with you. This is one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. There's several daily scriptures that I write down, and a lot of them come from Philippians. I think I've got four or five in my prayer book right now. And just tremendous words. So let me kind of do a little prelude to the reading. The word happiness evokes visions of unwrapping gifts on Christmas morning, strolling hand in hand with the one you love, being surprised on your birthday, responding with unbridled laughter to a comedian, or vacationing in an exotic venue. Everyone wants to be happy. We make chasing this elusive ideal a lifelong pursuit, but spending money, collecting things, and searching for new experiences. But if happiness depends on our circumstances, what happens when the toys rust, loved ones die, or health deteriorates, money is stolen, and the party's over? Often happiness flees and despair sets in. In contrast to happiness stands joy. Running deeper and stronger, joy is the quiet, confident assurance of God's love and work in our lives, that He will be there no matter what. Happiness depends on happenings, but joy depends on Christ. Let's remember that here in the book of Philippians. So the purpose of Philippians was to thank the Philippians for the gift that they had given Paul, and to strengthen these believers by showing them that true joy comes from Jesus Christ alone. As I mentioned, the author is Paul. The original audience is to the Christians in Philippi. And it was written, again, while Paul was in prison in Rome, about 61 AD. So let's get to the reading of it. The general blueprint of the reading is this. There's four chapters, and I'm kind of I'll give you each one. Joy. There is joy in suffering. There is joy in serving. There is joy in believing, and there is joy in giving. So let's start with chapter 1, joy in suffering. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Father and Jesus Christ. I thank God every time I remember you and all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of our partnership in the gospel from that first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you since I have put you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you sharing God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of sight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the days of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. That's a great reflection point, and I want to repeat that. This is verse 9 through 11. And this, again, this is Paul. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you might be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the spirit, with the fruit of the righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraging to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. That is great news, isn't it? That even while Paul was in prison, in chains, other brothers and sisters became more bold, spreading the word, spreading the gospel. Verse 15, it is true that some preach Christ out of the envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Christ Jesus, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverer. I eagerly accept and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Verse 21 again. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with the Christ, which is far better, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with you all for your progress and for joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Jesus Christ will overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still am having. Chapter 2. If you have any encouragement from the being united with Christ, and if any comfort from this, excuse me, I apologize, I'm going to start that over, chapter 2. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not only look to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. That's an interesting point that Paul brings out here, talking about selfish ambition. But then he says, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Had this discussion last night at Bible study. True humility actually promotes love of others. If we put others first and we put ourselves second, that is a way of being humble. And if we're putting ourselves second and others first, we're showing them love, an act of love. And that's what Christ asks us to do. And so what Paul is asking us to do here on behalf of Christ. Do nothing out of the selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. The world would be a better place if we were doing that. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of our Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a crooked or depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. As you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I may also be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I can to see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you have heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you will be glad, and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. Chapter 3. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee as for zeal, persecuting the church as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. And this is Paul speaking of himself, of course, while he was Saul, not Paul. But whatever I was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for the whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Again, a reflection verse. Beautiful words, true words. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Here is Paul, who walked away from his previous life, being a Pharisee, a strong believer, and had strong knowledge of the Old Testament. Had a family. He left all of that to pursue Christ, to deliver the gospel to scores of towns and communities and hundreds and thousands of people, to bring Christ to them. And he considers everything that he had before a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus. I consider them rubbish, that he says, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. That's the righteousness we look for, is God's righteousness, not our righteousness, not righteousness from another person, a family member, a friend, maybe an enemy. Righteousness with God. I want you to know that Christ... I want you to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ took hold of me. brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And Paul's telling us here in chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, is we need to forget what's behind us, what happened yesterday. Our life from yesterday. Forget about that. That is old news. That is beyond us. We are new people in Christ. Our faith, the faith that we've been given by God, makes us new people. The old we should forget about. We should worry about what's in front of us. And what's in front of us today is Jesus Christ and then salvation. And our life for Him. That's what's important. Paul says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God may will clear for you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note that those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Chapter 4. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with the Judea, and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women, who have been contented at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. And these are beautiful verses. I'm going to read these twice. It's chapter 4, verse 4 through 9. Beautiful verses. And it reads this: Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I'm going to read that one more time. Chapter 4, verse 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Our encouragement from Paul here is that we should always be rejoicing. There's nothing that comes our way that we should not be rejoicing about, because what it should be doing, we should have our eyes and hearts open to the fact that we are closer to God, and that is a joyful thing. Again, we began this study is talking about, in Philippians, joy. And this is joy in giving here in chapter 4. And then he says, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, or admirable, if anything's excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. If you were to take all eight of those beautiful words true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. That is the definition of Jesus Christ. That's where our minds should be. That's where we should focus. That's where our focus should be, is on him. And that's where our peace comes from. Pick up with verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I'm going to repeat that. Great reflection verse, chapter 4, verse 13. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Whether Paul was hungry or well-fed, whether he had plenty or not, in every situation, he could do anything and everything through him who gives him strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, you, as the Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send their greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you in spirit. Amen. That's Philippians, four short chapters with a lot of information and a lot of great wisdom, as in most of the books. Again, chapter 1 was in the joy in suffering. Chapter 2, the joy in serving. Chapter 3, the joy in believing. And chapter 4, the joy in giving. We have a few minutes left, and I do want to take this opportunity to thank you for joining the show and to encourage you to please give us feedback. There's a couple ways you could do so. You can call our number here at the North Carolina Reading Service, which is 919-832-5138. Again, that's 919-832-5138. We'd love to hear from you. And there's also a way to do so on a website, and that is ncreadingservice.org. That is ncreadingservice.org. So thank you for, again, for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed these special words of the gospel of Paul to the people in Philippi. My name is Jim DeJunis, and I'm reading to you today from the North Carolina Reading Service. May God bless you and be with you this day and every day. God's peace to you.